Good evening, everyone. Bonsoir tout le monde. Welcome to our second regular council meeting held in huis clos, as mandated by the Ministerial Order 2020-029 from the Quebec Minister of Health and Social Services. My name is Benny Masella. I'm the Mayor of the Town of Montreal West, and I'm joined by Councillors Dino Mazzoni, Elizabeth Yulin, Colleen Feeney, Maria Torres, and also present Maître Raphael D'Estasio, our Director General, and Maître Claude Gilbert, our Town Clerk. If I could have somebody move to open the meeting, please.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, Councillor Yulin. I move that the meeting be declared open.
Thank you, Councillor Yulin. Can I have a seconder, please?
I second it.
Thank you very much, Councillor Torres. All in favor, please.
Aye.
Thank you very much. Adoption of the agenda, please.
Yes.
Can I have somebody move the motion, please, for the adoption of the agenda?
Yes, I move to adopt the agenda of the regular meeting of Monday, April 27th, 2020, as presented.
Mr. Mayor, I second that motion.
If I could just make a correction, please. We're adding item number 9C, which is an RBC investment certificate. So if I could have somebody move, if Councillor Yulin, if you could move the amended agenda, please.
Mr. Mayor, I move to adopt the agenda of the regular meeting of Monday, April 27th, with an addition of the RBC amendment 9C.
Thank you very much, Councillor Yulin. Can I have a seconder, please?
Mr. Mayor, I reformulate my motion to second.
Thank you very much, Councillor Mazzoni. All in favor, please.
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. Number four, approval of the minutes, please.
Oui, Monsieur le Maire, je propose d'approuver le procès-verbal des séances du Conseil tenues aux dates suivantes. Séance ordinaire du 30 mars 2020. Séance spéciale du 16 avril 2020.
Merci, la conseillère Yulin. Je peux avoir de l'appui, s'il vous plaît?
Oui, je l'appuie.
Merci, la conseillère Colleen Feeney. Tout en faveur, s'il vous plaît?
Oui. Aye.
Oui.
Oui. Aye.
Thank you very, very much. We're going to move on to report of the mayor. Good evening, bonsoir à tous. This is our second regular council meeting held in this format. We also held a special council meeting the same way. As was the case before, the audio portion of this meeting, the podcast, will be posted tomorrow. C'est notre deuxième réunion du conseil municipal dans ce format. Comme les autres, l'enregistrement de la portion audio sera posté sur notre site web à partir de demain. As we are well into our seventh week of confinement, unfortunately, some signs of cabin fever seem to be setting in. People are still trying to adapt some of their routines to help stop propagating the virus, but it seems that they may be bending the rules around the edges. And what's the consequence? The town is getting more complaints about neighbors walking less or a group of people stopping to talk in the street. That part's not pleasant. We don't want to become a community of finger pointers. Alors que nous sommes dans notre septième semaine de confinement, malheureusement, certains signes de la fièvre de la cabine semblent s'installer. Et c'est quoi la conséquence? La ville reçoit de plus et de plus de plaintes à propos des voisins qui s'écartent à moins de 6 pieds ou d'une groupe de personnes qui s'arrêtent pour parler dans la rue. Cette partie n'est pas agréable. Nous ne voulons pas devenir une communauté de mouchards. Please do follow the directives of the provincial and federal governments have imposed upon us. And I think the most important is the maintenance of social distancing. Veuillez suivre les directives que le gouvernement fédéral et provincial nous ont imposées. Je pense que le plus important est le maintien de la distanciation sociale. As we get further into confinement, things may get less pleasant before they get better. But if we all continue to do our part, we will emerge at the end of this long and dark tunnel as a stronger community. Avec chaque semaine qui passe, les choses peuvent devenir moins agréables avant de s'améliorer. Mais si nous continuons de faire notre part, nous émergerons à l'autre bout de ce tunnel long et sombre en tant qu'une communauté beaucoup plus forte. Veuillez rester en santé et sécurité. Please stay healthy and safe. Thank you, merci. We're going to move now to the question period. We've asked people to send in their questions. and we receive questions till in the middle of the afternoon. So I'm going to read the question and then we're going to provide the answers. So what we've done is we've received many questions along the same topic. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to group those questions together so that we can give the answer one time. So from Gabrielle Saggy at 16 Roxton Crescent, from Dana Rath at 111 Ballantyne North, from Norbert Badusha, 457 Wolseley Avenue North, from Danielle Perron at 423 Westminster North, from Carol Fiedler at 139 Ballantyne Avenue North, from Barry Werner, 271 Sheraton Drive, from Aubrey Marchand, 164 Brock North, from Antoine Bissonneau, 251 Strathern, from David Superstein, 242 Ballantyne North, and from Abby Scheibitz, 138 Ballantyne North, from Jason Burson, 63 Roxton Crescent, from Brian Ostroff, 138 Ballantyne North, from Brian Benedetti, 22 Brock South, and from Paul Kenton, 70 Brock North. In general, these residents are asking us if the town of Montreal West will consider, or when we're going to consider, moving from podcast to web diffusing our council meetings. So thank you very much for the question. If I could ask Councillor Yulin to provide an answer, please.
Yes, certainly. Thank you very much. And thank you all for your questions regarding webcasting. So I should let you know that about six other cities on the island have begun webcasting their meetings during the COVID crisis. Here in Montreal West, as the mayor mentioned, we do podcast our public meetings and then post them on the website. And we allow for citizens to pose questions to council up to 3 p.m. on the day of the meeting to be answered by council. If citizens would like webcasting and an ability to ask questions during the meeting, we can certainly take this kind of thing into consideration and look into different alternatives. The information that we have now is that the kind of broadcast that would is being used elsewhere on the island would cost about $1,400 per meeting. And of course, we'd have to look into whether or not this was a prudent use of our resources, given the number of residents that would likely tune in live versus viewing the broadcast later on the website, as is happening now with the podcast. Of course, the pandemic has created a very fluid and challenging situation, and as with all levels of government, we're doing our best to adapt to this new reality. Live webcasts may become part of this reality, and we're certainly willing to pilot something like this for our May meeting. Of course, it'll depend on the practicality and the response from residents as to whether or not the system will proceed in the future. But as for a pilot project, we certainly agree that we could look into that for the next meeting. So thank you once again for your questions, and tune in next month.
Thank you very much, Councillor Yulin. From Gabriella Saggy at 16 Roxton Crescent. During this pandemic, parking restrictions, night parking, 4-hour limit, have been lifted in Montreal West. Cars are parked on residential streets and it has not created any problems. Would it be possible to make this permanent on certain streets without permit, where there are mostly rental units? Councillor Mazzoni, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Ms. Saggy, for the question. Parking restrictions play different roles and they make it possible for us to control parking lots so as to allow cleaning and maintenance of the roads. And in addition, they allow us to control the volume of cars that are parked on our streets. The recent tolerances that we've put into place take into account that more vehicles are obviously permanently on our territory at the same time, which requires a certain adjustment. But with a view to helping our population get through this pandemic, we've judged that the measure is reasonable for the time being under the current circumstances. We do appreciate your question very much, Ms. Saggy. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Mazzoni, and thank you for your question, Ms. Saggy. A question was posed by Barbara Farrell at 88 Roxton Crescent. Are there any resources available to Montreal West residents, Canadian citizens, returning from France and needing to self-isolate for 2 weeks away from other family members at our home address? Does the town help people in this situation? I'm going to ask Councillor Feeney to answer that question, please.
Thank you very much for your question, Ms. Farrell. The town does have quite a detailed plan in place for our residents who are age 70 and older. And that does involve, as part of it, a grocery pickup. So that is in place. For those who are under age 70 or are not suffering from any particular problem that makes them vulnerable and they must self-isolate due to a health condition, we currently do not have any specific measures in place other than the guidelines which all citizens are supposed to follow as outlined by the Government of Quebec. If people do need help, however, and they find themselves in a precarious situation, they do have access, and they don't have access to help from other loved ones or other people in their family, they want more help, more information, I invite you to call 514-484-6186. That is the telephone number of the community center. They are receiving calls, and a staff member is returning calls there. For your case, Ms. Farrell, as I don't know in which situation you are, I do have your email and I will correspond with you directly to see the situation you're in and to see if there's anything the town can be doing to help. Thank you very much for your question, Ms. Farrell.
Thank you very much, Councillor Feeney. Thank you very much for your question, Ms. Farrell. Margaret Griffin from 14 Fenwick Avenue asks, earlier in the year, I urged Council to look into obtaining provincial funding for local history initiatives, for example, under Quebec 82. Has the town of Montreal West been able to pursue this? I'm going to ask Councillor Yulin to answer, please.
Yes, thanks very much for your question, Margaret. I do remember your email, and the idea was very interesting. I have to say right now, the resources in town, the staff resources are stretched very thin. We have a number of people working from home and keeping, you know, doing all they can to keep the town running under the circumstances. So I would say that a project that would require town resources would be a difficult sell at this point. But if you're thinking about a project that would be just resident driven, it could be quite interesting, and I would be pleased to speak with you about that. So I would ask you to get in touch with me again when you have a moment, and I'll get some more details on exactly what you had in mind. With respect to getting provincial funding, though, I think, as we understand it, most of the provincial offices are working on skeleton staffs. They're not, you know, they're working from home, as are we. And so the idea of getting a grant for any of this, I think, is probably not too realistic. But let's see what you have in mind to see whether or not we can get something off the ground locally. Thank you very much again for your question, Margaret.
Thank you very much, Councillor Yulin. And thank you very much for your question, Mrs. Griffin. Barry Werner of 271 Sheraton Drive asks, why hasn't a speed bump been installed on Sheraton Drive between the two Crestwoods, as people constantly speed down this section of our street? Councillor Mazzoni?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Mr. Werner. I guess other than your question tonight, Mr. Werner, we have not received any official complaints for speeding on that section of Sheraton between the two intersections of Crestwood. But rest assured that we will, in fact, bring your comments to the next meeting of the Traffic and Safety Committee, and I will formally give you a response thereafter. I thank you for your question.
Thank you very much, Councillor Mazzoni, and thank you for your question, Mr. Werner. Kevin Brotheller of 27 Brock North asks, Brock North has three speed bumps between Sherbrooke and Curzon, while Ballantyne North only has two speed bumps between the same two streets, with the longer, slightly downhill stretch to Sherbrooke. I've noticed some cars like to race down the street to the stop sign, creating a danger point near the park across the street. Will a third bump be considered to make the street safer, like was done for Brock North?
Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for your question, Mr. Brotheller. The two existing speed bumps on Ballantyne are on the flatter part of the street. We've received similar requests to add a third speed bump, but to be most effective, it would have to be placed on the slow part of the street, which is not recommended as it may cause drainage issues and icing in the winter when we have snow banks on either side of the street. Again, according to our traffic studies, there was no speed problem that was noted or brought to our attention. But again, we will submit this file to our next meeting of the Traffic and Safety Committee, and I will update you with the analysis, Mr. Brotheler. Thank you very much for your question.
Thank you very much, Councillor Mazzoni, and thank you for your question, Mr. Brotheler. Mr. Aubrey Marchand, Aubrey Marchand at 164 Brock North asks, the town has declared approximately 30% of potable water pipes still contain lead service lines. Our water test results showed the presence of lead at the threshold maximum allowed. Health Canada published a report in 2017 titled Lead in Drinking Water, which states the threshold below which lead is no longer associated with adverse neurodevelopmental effects cannot be identified. Drinking water treatment devices offer an option at the residential level, although their use should not be considered to be a permanent solution. I asked, what is the current detailed timeline for the completion of water service line replacement for the town? Which streets and when? Councillor Torres, please. Councillor Torres, please unmute your microphone.
Okay, perfect.
Thank you,
Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Ms. Marchand, for bringing up this question. Let me start by, you mentioned that the town has declared that approximately 30% of potable water pipes still contain lead services. That's not exactly it. It says that approximately 70% of the water service line on the public side are lead-free. Now, this the public side is from the valve to the main, and we can assure that 70% is lead-free, although the balance, which is 30%, is not necessarily that it has lead, since a lot of smaller jobs have been done. We replace all the water pipes, including the lead pipes, as we would do the infrastructure work on the streets. And we will continue doing that till the entire town is redone. At the moment, we don't have a timeline for the completion of all the balance of the streets that not have been done. However, if you check our website on the frequently asked questions, you can see the streets that do have, we are not 100% sure whether it has lead or not, or the ones that they are safe. And also has other questions and answers on what we have done and different measures to mitigate the fact. If your street on Brock North comes up within the next few years, the pipes will be replaced, and we do encourage all the property owners to change their section of their pipes as we do the mains. I think that's it. I hope I answered your question. And if you have any other questions or suggestions, please, you can write to me or send me an email. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Councillor Torres, and thank you, Aubrey Marchand. Mr. Giuseppe Guadagno at 267 Sheraton writes, what is being done about the decrepit state of the sidewalk on the south side of Coatsingook Road between Sheraton and West Loop? This has become a health and safety issue for all residents taking walks or runs. There are deep potholes and crumbling asphalt along the entire way. This must be addressed. In the same area, but on the north side of Coatsingook Road, the grassed areas have been damaged by the large trucks that worked in this area during the last fall. This has left previously clean, grassy area with deep tire holes and lots of mud. The contractor should have repaired all of their damage. Is this being addressed? And finally, when will the trees that were removed along Coatsingook Road, adjacent to the train tracks between West Loop and the golf course, be replanted on Coatsingook Road? And unfortunately, all three of those questions have the same answer. That road, that section of Coatsingook Road, even though the Sheraton side is Montreal West territory, the Coatsingook Road side, including the sidewalk on both sides of Coatsingook Road, is Coatsingook territory. And unfortunately, that's something that needs to be addressed with the city of Coatsingook. Thank you very much for your question, Mr. Guadagno. Peter McLean at 150 Westminster Avenue, apartment 3, asked, Mr. Trudeau last Wednesday spoke about financial aid to low-income seniors. Do you have any info? Councillor Feeney?
Yes, thank you for your question, Mr. McLean. The only information we have is that which is on the Government of Canada website. It's www.canada.ca. And if you go on to that, Mr. McLean, you will see that it quite up top says support for individuals, and then that leads you into something giving you support for seniors there. So I think that's the best place to go for information on that. Hope this information helps you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the answer, Councillor Feeney, and thank you for your question, Mr. McLean. A second question for Mr. McLean. Wouldn't it be a good idea to divide the sidewalk so that people only go in one direction all along Westminster? This idea was implemented on Monkland Boulevard. Councillor Mazzoni, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Mr. McLean, for your question. We are actually analyzing the possibility of putting in place these safe corridors, if you will, for the busiest areas like Westminster. But you may have noticed that we have implemented this measure at the North Viaduct, which is commonly referred to as the Hump Bridge, where it is narrower for the pedestrian crossing. I thank you for your question, Mr. McLean.
Thank you very much, Councillor Mazzoni. And then the third question as well from Mr. McLean is at Nelson, where at Westminster, where the mailbox is, the bus stop and the bus stop for the 162, a garbage can would be helpful to prevent litter blowing up and down the street. Councillor Torres?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Mr. McLean, for bringing this issue up, and I will pass this observation to Public Works. Thanks.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your question, your questions, Mr. McLean. David Superstein at 242 Ballantyne Avenue North asks, the physical condition of Westminster North continues to deteriorate. What are the plans, what plans does the town have to improve the situation? Councillor Torres, please.
Yes, hello, Mr. Superstein. To tell you the truth, we don't have any plans so far for the next 2 years concerning Westminster North. It's not within our plans. However, that doesn't mean that we will not be patching up the potholes or catch basins or sidewalks, but as doing the resurfacing or improving it 100% is not within our plans for the next 2 years. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Torres. And the last question from Mr. Superstein. I still feel the safety issue I presented at Council last year about crossing the tracks on Westminster heading north poses a danger to the pedestrians using the crosswalk just north of the tracks. With traffic flowing north-south, south to turn left onto Sherbrooke, north to turn right onto Sherbrooke, and crossing the tracks going north is so irregular that the car is bounded around creating a distraction to the driver. This coupled with the observation that too many pedestrians, especially teens, are careless on walking across the street without checking for a clear path. Thank you for your question, Mr. Superstein. You're right, that still is a problematic area. Before this pandemic was declared, EXO was in the process of changing their configuration on the north side of the track so that people would no longer be exiting the tracks at Westminster. So with the idea there is that they would exit in a new building to be built on Sherbrooke, right near, just east of Brock Avenue. The idea is that people coming off of those tracks would get onto Sherbrooke, would get onto Sherbrooke and could cross and go north on Westminster without having to come out at the level crossing, which is a bit dangerous. I don't know if this work has been delayed significantly now because of this halt or this stopping of construction work. We'll get some more information from EXO as soon as things get going back to normal. Thank you very much for your questions, Mr. Superstein. Abby Scheivitz at 138 Ballantyne Avenue North asks, it is important that residents have the power to bring matters of concern before this council and that these matters be subject to actual documented consideration. Could council consider passing a bylaw which gives residents the right to place items of concern on the official agenda of council meetings? Councillor Yulin? Oh, if you want, I can answer that question. Councillor Yulin's microphone is turned off. So the idea here is that council right now is very, very accessible. So right now that you feel that you want to have something to be discussed by council, you're welcome, as you've been doing, to contact council and ask them to bring this up for consultation among ourselves and to see if there needs to be anything more formally addressed by the administration. We will not, at the time being, consider having people mandate what's on the agenda of our council meetings. And Abby Scheibitz asks, the public basketball court at Hodgson Field is in poor condition. The pavement is cracked and the nets are rusty and lopsided. Could council look into investing in the refurbishment of the basketball court? Councillor Yulin, please. Thank you.
Okay, now my turn. So thank you very much for your question, Abby. We don't have any plans right now to refurbish the basketball court. However, we do have our project for the new recreation center, which we've applied for a grant for, and that basketball court is part of the phase two of that project. So we would envision doing the refurbishment of the basketball court at that time. But thank you very much for your question.
Thank you very much, Councillor Yulin, and thank you for your questions, Ms. Scheibitz. From Brian Ostroff, also at 138 Ballantyne North, aside from the delaying the second installment of property taxes by a month, will the town be looking at any other measures to ease the financial burden on residents? I understand that many municipalities are looking to be more accommodating and would like to understand what our council might be thinking on the subject. If I could answer that, Mr. Ostroff, on the all the communities on the island, all the demerged municipalities, only one other municipality is considering changing one aspect of the financial plan. They're talking about changing one of the interest rates, but that's only one community of the 15 demerged municipalities on the island. So it's not many municipalities by any stretch of the imagination. However, as the situation evolves, as other people are coming up with some kind of proposals, we would consider them as well. But right now, because of the unknown of what our political, what our financial situation might be, it's hard for us to make any comment or any commitment to any other easing of financial burden on the residents. Thank you very much for your question, Mr. Ostroff. Joanne Goldwater at 279 Sheraton Drive asks, I would like to see our local stores stay open, but I would also like to be sure that they follow the correct precautions. Is the town able to pass regulations and enforce them in order to keep all our residents safe? The provincial government has mandated the rules that we have to follow right now, and the SPVM is responsible for applying the security measures imposed by the government. The city can't necessarily interfere in the affairs of our local merchant. However, I have spoken to many of the merchants, especially some of them that had not yet started enforcing some of the best practices to decrease propagation of the virus. I have spoken to many of them, and I think a lot of them have already made some changes. It's important to note that we don't necessarily want to duplicate existing provincial regulations, especially for something that's hopefully short and temporary, like the pandemic right now, the COVID pandemic right now. Thank you very much for your question, Mrs. Goldwater. Laura Cousineau at 239 Percival Avenue asks a question about a tree that is dangerous and has had falling limbs in front of her house. She says, you all know that I'm a tree hugger at heart, so I'm saddened at the prospect of losing this beautiful mature tree. But safety must come first. There are many pedestrians that pass as well as a multitude of young children playing on the street. Thank you. Let's not wait for the tragedy to occur before addressing this issue. Thank you for your time. If I could ask Councillor Torres to provide an answer, please.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Laura, for sending the email and including the photograph. Photographs, they're very useful. As you know, we are quite concerned as well about the tree, and we had a study before, and we'll do it again as soon as we can, and I'll get back right back to you with an answer. So we will have a study again, and I will call you back. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Councillor Torres, and thank you for your question, Ms. Cousineau. Philip Bergeron at 23 Garden asks two questions. The first question, why do Montreal West streets have sidewalks on both sides of the street? Westminster has two sidewalks due to high foot traffic and merchants, but what about the streets with less foot traffic? Is it because of aesthetics? I'm going to answer that question, Mr. Bergeron. We have streets on both sides. We have sidewalks on both sides of all of our streets presently right now. We have a couple of streets that just have curbs on one side, but by and large, I think the vast majority of our streets have two sidewalks. Unfortunately, we can't let those sidewalks crumble to disrepair, and it doesn't make sense to rip them up and not replace them. We're in a very urban center. We're not necessarily the same thing as some of our colleagues in the more suburban towns out on the West Island that don't necessarily always have sidewalks. I think it's in our interest to want to have people continuing to walk or to be able to push a stroller on sidewalks or to be able to use a wheelchair on sidewalks if that's the case. So it's hard for us to say that we will not continue to have sidewalks, especially since they're already there. If there were sections where the town wasn't built and we were looking to develop it, then we could have that conversation about maybe not having sidewalks installed, but that's not the case right now. And your second question is, can we consider having coffee with the mayor, alternate coffee in the mayor in the morning with coffee in the mayor in the evening, or something along those lines? I'm going to answer that question as well, Mr. Bergeron. I think that's a very good idea. Somebody else had raised it to me before, having some kind of an informal chat like we do with coffee with the mayor every morning, monthly in the morning. So yes, we can do something in an evening. And as soon as this pandemic gets to the point where we can start getting together, I will have something to propose and we'll see how that goes. I'm willing to come out an evening and meet my citizens. I do it in the morning and I find it very, very useful to keep in touch. And if that's a way for me to keep in touch in the evening, I'm perfectly willing to do that. Thank you very much, Mr. Bergeron, for your questions. So that's the end of the public question period. We're now going to move on to administration and financing, 9A, auditors, filing of the auditor's reports. So I'm hereby giving notice that the financial statements for the year 2019 were tabled with council. And I'm going to ask Councillor Feeney to give a summary of this report, please.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. So I'm pleased on behalf of the mayor to give you a little bit of a report on the fiscal year ending December 31st, 2019. Now, ordinarily at a meeting, you would have the figures in front of you and we'd go into a lot more detail. What I'll do tonight is I'll just give you a little bit more of a summary, but this will all be posted online. And after we file the report with the government, we'll certainly post the entire financial report online. And I do invite you at the next meeting to send in any questions that you'd like me to answer with more details after you've seen the detail in the report. So first, let me say it was a very good year. The town posted an operating surplus of $462,000 last year, which is 2.9% of our operating budget. As is often the case, it was revenues, which was the largest source of this surplus. Revenues were $738,000 over budget, and that was made up mainly from extra revenue from recreation programs and also from duties on transfer after the sale of houses. In terms of the expense side, we were $275,000 over budget, and the largest portion of that in terms of operating expenses was due to $182,000 over budget for snow clearing costs. As you likely recall, the amount of snow that we had in 2019 was a very, very high volume. In 2019 as well, we did continue our pay-as-you-go program, and we spent about $663,000 out of our operating budget on various projects so that we wouldn't have to go into debt for those projects and add more to our debt. The largest part of that was the partial financing of infrastructure work on Wolseley and Crestwood. That was $380,000. So that, together with the other capital investment, the rest of the project on Wolseley and Crestwood, meant that in 2019, the town invested $3.3 million in our capital assets. As I say, the majority of that was road and infrastructure work. And yet, because of payment on our debt, and also because we were able to use our pay-as-you-go program and other surplus accounts and government grants, our net debt actually decreased by $291,000 and now stands at $13.3 million. Our unappropriated surplus is now $2.2 million. So the town is in excellent financial state, and all of this is in accordance with our long-term strategic plan. And I just want to take a moment to thank our Treasurer, Valentina Tordoron, our Director General, and all our town directors for the careful management of the town's budgets and finances. And again, this will all be posted on the website for you to get more detail. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very, very much, Councillor Feeney. We're going to go to 9B, approval of disbursements for the period of March 26th to April 22nd, 2020. If I could have somebody move the motion, please.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I move that the list of accounts payable from March 26th to April 22nd, 2020, totaling $371,195.29, be approved and paid as listed.
Thank you very much, Councillor Feeney. Can I have a seconder, please?
Mr. Mayor, I second the motion.
Thank you very much, Councillor Mazzoni. All in favor, please.
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. We're adding an item. We added an item 9C, an RBC investment certificate. We're in a position where we can actually put some money aside in a bank in a guaranteed certificate. And we're looking to do whatever we can to replace some of the lost income that the town will be suffering this year because of this pandemic. So if I could have somebody move the motion, please.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I move that the Treasurer be authorized to invest an amount of $3.5 million in a guaranteed investment certificate of 60 days, non-renewable, with the RBC, which is the financial institution doing business with the town.
Thank you, Councillor Feeney. Can I have a seconder, please?
Yes, I second that.
Thank you very much, Councillor Yulin. All in favor, please.
Aye.
Thank you very much. Number 10, the Urban Department, 10A, Site Planning Projects and Architectural Integration Program. If I could have somebody move the motion, please.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I move first to acknowledge receipt of the minutes of a meeting held by the Planning Advisory Committee, PAC, on April 22nd, 2020. Second, to approve as presented under the SPAIP, the following plans submitted to this meeting in accordance with the recommendation of the PAC as outlined in the minutes. 325 Brock North, demolition of a one-floor rear extension and construction of a two-floor extension, as well as replacement of windows on the existing building, option one. 21 Fairfield, roof replacement, installation of new soffits and fascia. And three, to defer the examination of the following plans to a next meeting of this council in accordance with the recommendations of the PAC as outlined in the minutes. 124 Easton, construction of a one-story extension in the backyard.
Thank you very much, Councillor Feeney. Can I have a seconder, please?
I second that.
Thank you very much, Councillor Yule. And all in favor, please.
Aye.
Thank you very, very much. A minor exemption request at 29 Campbell.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Whereas on March 13th, 2020, the Quebec government declared a state of public health emergency in the entire territory of the province of Quebec, which is still in force. Whereas the Ministry of Health and Social Services issued various decrees of its own to address different situations in the present circumstances. Whereas on March 22nd, Ministerial Decree Number 2020-008 declared that any legal provision calling for public consultation in municipalities shall be suspended for as long as the state of public health emergency is in force. That is the seventh paragraph in the third page of that decree. Whereas a municipality can overrule that suspension if its council decides to make a priority of a particular topic, provided that the public consultation is replaced with a 15-day period during which written comments can be made before the final decision. Therefore, Mr. Mayor, I move that the minor exemption request recommended for approval by the Planning Advisory Committee at its meeting of April 22, 2020, concerning a front gallery at 29 Campbell be declared a priority in light of the particulars of this case without making any decision on its merits at this stage.
Thank you very much, Councillor Mazzoni. Can I have a seconder, please?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I second that.
Thank you very much, Councillor Feeney. All in favor, please?
Aye.
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 Thank you very much, folks. Public Works, 11A, awarding of a contract for equipment purchase for a loader backhoe.
Whereas the Town of Montreal West issued a public call for tenders for the purpose of purchasing a loader backhoe. Whereas the bidders were required to offer a price under two different options. One being to reduce their price by taking in exchange the town's used loader backhoe, option A. The other one being the only offered a purchase price, option B. Whereas six suppliers ordered the tender document, whereas two bids were received and assessed to verify their conformity with the requirements of the tender document, whereas the lowest bid had not been found conform on the technical level. Therefore, I move first to award the purchase contract to a John Deere loader backhoe model 410L, year 2020, to Brand Tractor LTD Limited, being the lowest conformer bidder under option A, that is for a total price of $203,550 plus taxes. Sorry about that. And secondly, to sell the New Holland loader backhoe model B89TC year 2012 to Brand Tractor Limited for a price of $23,000 plus taxes. Third, to charge this expense to the working fund and that it be reimbursed within 10 years. Fourth, to authorize the director of Public Works to sign any documents required to implement this resolution, including the delivery and registration of the purchase equipment, as the case may be.
Thank you very much, Councillor Torres. And just to be clear, the purchase price was for $203,550 plus taxes, of which they're going to buy back our old existing backhoe loader for $23,000 plus taxes. Can I have a seconder for this motion, please?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I second the motion.
Thank you very much, Councillor Mazzoni. All in favor, please?
Aye.
Thank you very much. We're going to 11B, mandate the City of Montreal to carry out a group purchase for the tenders for the supply of road salt in bulk. This is something that we do every year. We mandate the City of Montreal to regroup many municipalities together and go out and seek tenders for the purchase of our road salt in bulk. So if I could have somebody make the motion, please.
Oui, merci, Monsieur le maire. Attendu que la Ville de Montréal offre de mettre en œuvre la coordination d'un appel d'offres regroupé au nom des villes liées participantes intéressées pour la fourniture de sels de déglaçage à compter du 15 septembre 2020 jusqu'au 30 avril 2021. Attendu que le directeur des travaux publics agit à titre de représentant de la Ville de Montréal-Ouest à cet effet, Monsieur le maire, je propose que le Conseil autorise la participation de la Ville de Montréal-Ouest à un appel d'offres regroupé pour l'octroi d'un contrat de fourniture de sels de chemin en vrac. Deuxièmement, Monsieur le maire, que la Ville de Montréal-Ouest délègue à la Ville de Montréal le pouvoir de préparer le devis et les autres documents d'appel d'offres, de recevoir et d'analyser les soumissions et de produire un rapport sur les résultats auprès des municipalités participantes. Et finalement, Monsieur le maire, que le directeur des travaux publics et le directeur adjoint des travaux publics soient autorisés chacun à signer tous les documents nécessaires aux fins de la présente résolution.
Merci, conseiller Mazzoni. Je peux avoir un appui, s'il vous plaît?
Je l'appuie.
Merci, Councillor Feeney. Tout en faveur, s'il vous plaît.
Oui. Oui.
Thank you very much, merci. Number 12, Human Resources. 12A, request for a salary deferral for employee number 124.
Oui, Monsieur le maire. Je propose que, conformément à la convention collective du travail des Codes Bleus, l'employé numéro 124 soit autorisé à prendre un congé sans solde à traitement différé de 8 mois, s'échelant du 3 mai 2025 au 2 janvier, 2 janvier 2026, que le congé soit sans solde à traitement différé soit accordé aux conditions suivantes, que l'employé numéro 124 soit payé 86,667% de son salaire du 2 mai 2020 au 2 mai 2025 et qu'il reçoive le solde de 13,33% pendant l'édit congé et que la directrice générale soit autorisée à signer tout document requis au fait de la mise en application de la présente résolution au nom de l'employeur.
Merci, conseillère Fini. Je peux avoir de l'appui, s'il vous plaît.
Je l'appuie.
Merci, la conseillère Torres. Tout en faveur, s'il vous plaît.
Oui.
Merci, tout le monde. That's number 12, number 13 appointments. We're going right to councillors' reports. So we're going to start with seat number one, Councillor Mazzoni, reporting on matters pertaining to public security and special projects fundraising.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Good evening to all of you listening to this podcast tonight. I hope you're in good standing and safe and healthy and that you stay that way. I'd like to give you the departmental activity summary for our public security departments. So this is particularly the COVID-19 specific measures we've undertaken. With the help of Public Works, the Communications Group, and our Director General, the PSO department was able to implement the following measures. On April 1st, signage for one-way sidewalks were set up due to concerns that we had received as it was difficult for pedestrians to practice social distancing when traversing the narrow sidewalks on the Hump Bridge. In fact, we actually answered a question like that from Mr. McLean earlier in this meeting. And that one-way sidewalk was set up, the one-way sidewalks were set up in the same direction as traffic. On April the 3rd, PDQ9, our local police station, was checking in with our PSOs on every shift to see if they had any problem areas or activities where social distancing or any other sanitary measures were not being met, if you will. On April the 6th, I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, I lost my computer here, so bear with me all. We will get to that very shortly. This is the beauty of this. On April 6th, the PSOs delivered COVID-19 information flyers destined for the lobbies of every apartment building with 10 units or more in the town. This was part of an island-wide joint effort between the Montreal Civil Security Center, and the Montreal Public Health Department. On April 14th, with assistance from Hydro-Quebec, the lane running behind Radcliffe and Roxton was temporarily closed to the public for the duration of the pandemic. This was due to complaints of increased pedestrian and vehicular traffic in the area from people coming from other neighborhoods. The pathway is too narrow to practice safe social distancing. It is important to note that the land in question does belong to Hydro-Quebec. By the way, the PSOs have been receiving numerous calls regarding the non-respecting of social distancing rules. In these situations, our PSOs, as I mentioned in our last meeting, can only warn individuals, as the SPVM, our police, are the only ones that can actually issue fines. So fortunately, no such calls need to be made on our part, but we do educate residents when we do see them. Certain crime stats for the month of March 2020, as provided to us by the SPVM, we actually had one crime stat for March 2020, an important one. It was related to sexual aggression, but there was no other reported crimes. Now, that specific sexual aggression crime relates to a March 10th incident where the SPVM was notified about a possible sexual predator that was following female Royal West Academy students to take their photographs, but that individual was quickly found and arrested by the police. So I want to give everyone that assurance. Certain crimes that were brought to our attention as reported by our PSOs. In fact, on April the 20th, during the night, garage doors of two private residences and the side of a parked vehicle were vandalized with graffiti. The residents have filed police reports. And finally, with respect to announcements to be made, as of April 15th, the provincial government has allowed for private landscapers to resume their activities. As the town hall is still closed to the public, the town has added an online form to allow private landscapers to obtain their permits. We want to remind everyone that leaf blowers can only be used from the period between April 15th to May the 1st, and any resident that hires a landscaping contractor must ensure that these landscapers have their town permit. If you have any questions, by all means, you can email me at dinomazzoni@hotmail.com or reach me directly on my cell phone at 514-949-3055. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Mazzoni. Reporting from seat number 2 on matters pertaining to communication, recreation, and culture, Councillor Elizabeth Ulan.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Mayor, and good evening or good afternoon or good morning, whenever you're listening to this, to my fellow residents. We'll start with the community center. The staff there have been largely working from home, attending online meetings and coordinating response to the crisis. Participants in our winter session programs have been refunded for all canceled classes, and we await government directives, on whether or not our summer programs can proceed. If they do, we're ready with fully sanitized buildings, and all the summer staff selections have been made. There were no regular seniors activities this month, but our recreation staff has been working hard with the MATA group and Councillor Feeney to reach out to the whole senior population to see how we can be of help during the crisis. I'm sure there'll be more about this initiative in Councillor Feeney's report. I know it's extremely heartening. Unfortunately, our entire lineup of summer special events, including Canada Day celebrations, have had to be canceled, as they're incompatible with the necessary physical distancing directives. We're looking at creating creative ways to celebrate this summer, even though, of course, they can't involve any congregating as usual. The arena has been prepared for the startup of camp and other summer activities in the event they can still take place, and registration is ongoing for both the pool and the camp, and we encourage you to register for both of these. A decision about whether to proceed with these activities will only be made next month. If the situation allows, a new artist showcase exhibit will be mounted at the town hall under the theme Progress. Applications are due on May 17th via the website and Facebook. In the communications file, I can report that regular e-bulletin updates and Facebook posts have been issued once or twice weekly, and the website is updated daily. A podcast of our regular public council meeting in March, held via Zoom, was posted on the site, as will this one be. I'm sure that's what you're listening to now. Citizens have been encouraged to send their questions to council via the web form in advance of the regular public meeting. And as you've heard in this meeting, each question will be answered by a member of council. I guess also what you've heard in this meeting in the answers to the current questions, we're going to be looking into some kind of a webcasting format that will allow a little bit more citizen participation. Besides the regular council meetings, we encourage you to keep in touch at any time via the web to express your concerns and questions. We're all very available by email and in some cases phone, so we do encourage you to get in touch, even though we may not see you out on the street as much as we used to. Caucus is actually meeting more than ever now, at least once a week on Zoom, to navigate the town through this very fluid situation. And keeping residents informed is a particularly high priority. In closing, I'd like to note that Mo West has the second lowest infection rate on the island. You know that it used to be that crossing the street to avoid a neighbor was the height of social snubbing, but now it's the height of social responsibility. And I believe that that's what we're all about. So please keep up the physical distancing. So far we're doing great, and I'm sure we will be doing so in the future. I hope to see you out and about sometime soon. Thank you very much for listening to this podcast.
Thank you very much, Councillor Ulan. Reporting from seat number 3 on matters pertaining to urban planning, finance, administration, and human resources, Councillor Colleen Feeney.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor, and hello, everyone. I want to start by the finance portfolio and remind you that the second installment of your property tax has been postponed from May 21st to June 22nd. All post-dated checks that have already been submitted for the second installment will only be deposited on June the 22nd. There's no need to get them back and rewrite them. And please see the town website under property taxes for any further information on that. As well, the finance department has been working at home, and they have started work on the pension plan audit that began on April the 14th and is progressing very well. They've also been managing all our accounts payable and disbursements. And as usual, every month, I like to give residents an idea of where your tax money was spent last month. Last month, we spent $371,000. Of that, almost half of it was deductions at source and benefits for employees, as is often the case, $177,000 there, and about $14,000 to $15,000 in utilities and heating. As well, we had a road study done for $10,000, and we paid our annual UMQ dues for $10,000. Those are fairly unique expenses. Other more regular expenses, under public works, we had garbage, which includes garbage, recycling, and compost. That was $32,000 last month, and diesel and fuel was about $13,000. And in the administrative office, the largest expense was payment for some of our insurance contracts. That was $39,000. Another thing that wasn't as huge in the actual amount, but it was a very time-consuming, was doing reimbursements for all of the residents for various recreation programs for which they had registered. So the reimbursements came to over $10,000. And as these were very small amounts, there was actually about 165 checks issued for your reimbursements. And I believe they're still continuing if they get further information there. Okay, that's it for finance. On to urban planning, which is also continuing, and PAC is meeting on Zoom regularly. In April, in the month of April, 5 permits were issued compared to 40 this month last year. So we do see that the number of projects is down at the moment. While the town hall is closed, permit applications can be made only via the town's website. And the procedure is explained under resident services, urban planning, permits, and authorizations. The next PAC meeting will be held May the 6th, and for that, their submissions were due April the 22nd. After that, the next PAC meeting is May the 20th, and the submissions for that are due on May the 6th. Finally, on the seniors' portfolio, although the work with the full MATA committee has been put on hold for the moment, a subcommittee working on the senior outreach program has been very hard at work. As reported in the recent e-bulletin, town has 718 residents age 70 and over, spread over 496 households. All these residents for whom we have phone numbers have been contacted at least once by members of the town to see how they are doing in this period of self-isolation. Based on their responses, we've set up a couple of programs, one dealing with grocery shopping and delivery, and another with check-in calls. We've had a wonderful response from our residents and also from our volunteers who have all undergone proper training. The grocery delivery started with the volunteers this past week at the IGA. An e-bulletin that went out brought in a few more seniors wishing to have their groceries, this grocery service, and people are very appreciative of the initiative. As it allows them not to have any worries about going out for food or going out to other stores when they are supposed to be self-isolating. A second series of telephone check-ins, this time with our volunteers, has also started and is working well. So I want to thank all our volunteers, the ones on the front lines who are doing the groceries and the calls, the committee members, and the ones behind the scenes. These are all key factors into how well the program has worked to date. We've even set up direct contacts within the CLSC to provide immediate help to our seniors if necessary. The program will continue and I imagine will grow as the period of self-isolation continues. I also want to thank the IGA at Côte Saint-Luc Shopping Centre, who allows our volunteers to go in at designated hours when the store is closed, and also our Montreal West merchants who are working with us on yet another project to help our residents in this time. Finally, I encourage you to visit the Montreal West website. There are two pages which are particularly relevant now. There's a seniors webpage where you can find a multitude of services for seniors. And then there's the COVID-19 webpage where you can find information from all levels of government on the coronavirus, including the English version of the self-care guide, which was published by the Government of Quebec. So on that note, I want to wish you all to stay healthy, stay home, and stay healthy. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Feeney. And reporting from seat number 4 on matters pertaining to the environment, public works, and buildings, Councillor Maria Torres.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good evening. Bonsoir à tous. The Public Works Department continues to work with reduced staff. However, they have managed to continue with most of the required maintenance work around town. Since some public buildings, that is the Town Hall, Adult Library, Community Center, and the South Chalet are closed due to the COVID-19 virus, they have all been fully cleaned and disinfected. Another winter season is behind us, and the temporary dog run and hockey boards at Hodgson Field were removed until next fall. The town mechanics have begun to convert the fleet from winter to summer mode, and Public Works has installed all of the speed bumps and flexible bollards around town, including the reflective bollards at the four corners of the Westminster curb extensions. The street sweeper and sidewalk sprayer have been out for the past few weeks and will continue to clean the town. Even with all the town parks closed, Public Works has begun to do all of the spring cleanups. And along with all parking lots, this will continue for the upcoming few weeks. The pedestrian walkway at the bottom of Brock and Ronald Drive connecting Montreal West and MDG has been blocked off. Last, I would like to give a couple of notices and reminders. We noticed that some people still use plastic bags to put at the garden waste. Please use only paper bags, the compost bin, or a cardboard box, and place them on the sidewalk next to the compost bin to be picked up. Up to now, special pickups for large branches were on hold, but around mid-May, you can email Public Works to request this service. Hopefully, we'll be able to be in service by then. Also, if your lawn was damaged by the snow cleaning trucks, please contact Public Works to have it fixed. And remember that the best way to contact them or send a request is by email. That's the fastest way. The household hazardous waste drop-off that was scheduled for May 17 has been postponed until further notice. And although the eco-centers in the Greater Montreal area remain open at this time, residents are asked to postpone their visits whenever possible. That's it for me for tonight. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please do not hesitate to send me an email. I will be very happy to respond to you as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Torres. We're moving on to notice of motion, reading, and adoption of bylaws. Adoption of bylaw number 2020-004, the bylaw amending bylaw number 2019-007 concerning the taxes of the Town of Montreal West for the fiscal year 2020. This is the bylaw, the modification of this bylaw that we're putting into place that allows us to delay for 1 month the second installment of the property taxes that are due. If I can have somebody make the motion, please.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Whereas a copy of this bylaw in draft version was previously tabled at a council meeting when the notice of motion was given and made available in accordance with the law, whereas the purpose and scope of this bylaw were summed up at the present meeting, therefore I move that bylaw number 2020-004, entitled Bylaw Amending Bylaw Number 2019-007, concerning taxes of the Town of Montreal West for the fiscal year 2020, be adopted.
Thank you very much, Councillor Feeney. Can I have a seconder, please?
I second it.
Thank you very much, Councillor Torres. All in favor, please.
Aye.
Thank you very much. Adoption of bylaw 2020-005, bylaw repeating bylaw number 2008, 2008-005 concerning swimming pools. 2008-005 was our old swimming pool bylaw. That swimming pool bylaw is now become redundant because the provincial government has put in place a new rules across all municipalities concerning swimming pools, and many of the other aspects of our swimming pool bylaw was incorporated into our zoning bylaw. So we can actually take the swimming pool bylaw off the books. If I could have somebody make the motion, please.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Whereas a copy of this bylaw in draft version was previously tabled at a council meeting when the notice motion was given and made available in accordance with the law. Whereas the purpose and scope of this bylaw were summed up at the present meeting. Therefore, I move that bylaw number 2020-005 entitled Bylaw Repealing Bylaw Number 2008-005 Concerning Swimming Pools be adopted.
Thank you very much, Councillor Torres. Can I have a seconder, please?
Yes, I second that.
Thank you very much, Councillor Yulin. All in favor, please.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you very much. Since there is nobody present in the town hall, there will be no second public question period. So if I could have somebody make a motion to terminate the meeting, please.
Mr. Mayor, I move that the meeting be terminated.
Thank you very much, Councillor Mazzoni. Can I have a seconder, please?
I second it.
Thank you very much, Councillor Torres. All in favor, please.
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you very, very much, everybody. So this meeting is now over. I appreciate your patience with this as we work through the technical logistics and all of that. And hopefully we'll have an update on a new way to do this at our next council meeting. Stay safe, everybody. Be careful. Look out for each other. And let's follow the rules that we have to follow so we can get through this as quickly as possible. Thank you very much, everybody. Good evening. Bonsoiree.